All right, dude.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man.
Hey.
Love you, dude.
Love you, dude.
So, this whole shit is really for me an exploration into inspiring people that I've been so fortunate to get to work with and meet along the way in this weird, fucked up journey that we are on. And, you know, it's so important for me, for people to really understand just how important you are to me, to all this music. And I feel like, you know, that whole Wizard of Oz, like the person behind the curtain shit. Mm. Like, if that curtain were to fall down, you are the dude with the strings behind it in so many ways. And it's been interesting because really it was the first session that I took when I was in the process of trying to figure out who the fuck I am, having kind of followed one artist project into the ground, like a full-on crash and burn. Nobody gave a fuck, ran out of money, and met our manager, Amit, in that place, in the smoldering wreckage at 22 years old. And I expressed to him how badly I wanted to make something that stood for something, how badly I wanted to make something that felt like it mattered, because I had seen what it felt like for no one to care. And I had nothing, because all I really wanted was people's attention and their validation. And when I didn't get that, there was nothing for me to stand on. And I think that that's where it became important to talk about something that mattered, because I couldn't control whether people ever cared. I couldn't control whether we ended up here together. Mm-hmm. But what we could control was making something that felt important, that felt about something. And I expressed all of that to my manager, Amit. And Amit was like, I got a guy for you to meet. And I met Amit in December of 2015. We didn't even have the name Grandson when we first had a session together. It was in Hollywood.
Hollywood, yeah.
It was in Wilcox in Hollywood. There's a little studio over there. Mm-hmm. And Kevin certainly wasn't going by Boone then.
Nope.
I wasn't going by Grandson. And I'm just, this is so exciting and cool, because I don't think people really know our story.
Really,
I know that
it.
People don't have your story, and you have taught me so much with the way that you are a true artist, your pursuit of reinvention with the instrument you've been playing for so long, your curiosity to explore new genres of music, not writing off music that is simpler than the discipline you have for your instrument. I've learned a lot by your willingness to collaborate. I've learned a lot through your willingness to sacrifice, your humility in not pushing me, not pushing this project to, not pushing it to, you never made me feel like me expressing myself and me going on this journey was a bad thing. And there's a lot of ways to take that, but first and foremost, I just want to start by asking, who are you?
I appreciate your words so much, man. It's humbling, and it's just really good to, you know, to get to the core of this. It's worthwhile, you know. But I appreciate your words a lot. I mean, dude, it's so mutual, and you have no idea. Like, yeah, I'm open to working with other people, and I'm curious, and there's a few good traits, but it's the moment we started collaborating and Amit connected us. It's like there's a lot of things that I personally see that kind of were like, you know, the omens, like the signs were just there. Like, you were writing about shit that I literally thought was like about me. I was like, is this dude writing songs about me? You know, because you we're tapping into something that felt so, you know, worth fighting for and worth expressing with dope riffs in the first place. You know, that's how we connected the first time, you know. But thank you so much in general for your super sweet words, dude.
Who are you?
So I'm Kevin, a.k.a. Kevin Hissink, a.k.a. Boone. I'm originally from the Netherlands, from this place outside Haarlem, which is close to Amsterdam. I worked my ass off to get to Los Angeles, and it took me a good 6 years of muddling around and, you know, trying to find somebody that I really connected with till we linked up. And things have gone super quick since then, you know?
Yeah, I think that one thing that I have a feeling will be a recurring theme in this conversation series. So many people at the shows are struggling to find their purpose. They're struggling to find their guitar. They're struggling to find their pen. Whatever their thing is that is an extension of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of having a thing, moving towards that thing, despite the obstacles in your way, I think that can be very difficult. I think some people have it easier than others.
Yeah.
I know that I come from a very supportive family and a very privileged community where I was able to move towards music when that became obvious to me that that was my calling. But even though that process started when I was around 15, it took me years to really feel like I was set on that path, finding my community. And I think that a lot of young people that are listening to the music that we create, coming to the live shows, going on this journey with me and with us,
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of them feel a lot of pressure to have the answers to some of those things.
I felt that pressure too.
Yeah, so I want to know, when you define this path as beginning.
Beginning, yeah. I've from the moment I quit college to become a musician, I always felt it was right. I never felt like I had that much of a choice, to be honest, because I was, in my opinion, so passionate about it. I wouldn't say I was good at it, but I was so in love with it that I felt
it being guitar.
Yeah, playing, expressing myself with, like, yeah, guitar, and that the love for guitar is so big that, you know, because I still play a lot, like a couple hours a day if I can, because it, like, really balances me out, and, you know, cathartically, you know. And I think I would want anybody to have something like that in their life, you know, like, and so therefore I feel like my path was always connected to expressing myself through music or finding, you know.
Where do you remember deliberately looking for that thing?
I remember when I was like around, this is going back, way back, but like around growing up, that I had an older brother who was pretty much good at everything, and he was really smart, and he was like good at athletic shit too and everything, and I was always good enough but kind of trailing. I always wanted to find my own thing, and I tried with like a bunch of things, but then when I got a guitar from my uncle's attic with a broken neck and played on that, I was like, I this is gonna be my thing, you know. And you know, you find your role models too, so I just, you know, from that moment on, I just wanted to become that, you know, find my identity, and like, and it never hurts to really put in the sweat, you know, because you can find some stuff out about yourself if you keep at it, you know.
Did you know it was your thing when you were putting in those hours to becoming the guitarist that you are today? Dude, don't hurt yourself over there, Fish. I see you, bro.
Yeah, right.
When you were, you know, sitting, there's a couple of different places for me to go with this. First off, I want to know, was it like a switch that was flipped, or was it a gradual progression into finding that sense of purpose through the instrument? And then my second question is also, was that at the time, was that also joined by a sense of community, or was this a solo, like like a lonely process?
Growing up, I remember it, the first time I ever, like, so I started out in an acoustic, and the first time I ever heard or held an electric guitar, it was like the same, it's comparable to like hearing Rage Against the Machine for the first time. It just activated me. I was like, this is my shit, you know? And I felt like the electric guitar did that for me. Yeah, that was the first instrument where I was like, there's no way I can live a day, another day without one. I need to save up some money somewhere to just get something like that. And that put me on a path, I guess, to, you know, like wanting to get really good at it. Identity-wise, I don't know. Like, I really... And there's, you know, my childhood was also, like, I've had a bunch of, like, setbacks and good times with my family, but, my dad was always spinning the right music, in my opinion. Like, he was just putting on, just, I remember us having to take, like, drives to south of France for holidays, and then he would just blast Hendrix and Woodstock and stuff like that, like, for hours, and it would be so loud, and my mom would go crazy. Mm-hmm. But it was, like, that has a lot to do with it, too. I think, you know, like, and it's strange, because he's, like, from kind of a different background, not necessarily like steeped in music, but that was also largely, I think, conducive to me, you know, being so comfortable with that musical aspect of my life.
I want to talk about a bunch of shit, and we're going to right after we take a quick commercial break. We're from on the fucking back. I'm with Boone. I'm with my co-conspirator. If you've listened to any songs of mine, they have all become what they've become because of Kevin, because of my work with Kev. And I want to continue to have a conversation around the path with which you got to my life, and then some of the songs that we did together. Maybe we can talk about those. So I want to talk about, you found guitar. You had a father that was playing a lot of guitar rock music.
Totally.
And then was it obvious that you wanted to be in bands? Yeah, what's, like, give us the rundown.
Yeah, and since I kind of almost forgot you said, was it also steeped in a sense of community? And it wasn't really. I was, like, kind of in my attic, always playing by myself, just... trying to learn parts, and, you know, like, I was kind of too chicken to really go out and, like, really perform. And
which I think a lot of people relate to.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, it's just, you know, I think I always wanted to be in the back of my head, wanted to be, like, behind the scenes kind of guy, but, like, it wouldn't have hurt if I would have, like, gotten a band sooner. I waited, like, for my first band till I was, like, 21.
Mm-hmm.
So that was...
You had already been in music school at that point?
Yeah, for about a year. Yeah, I got accepted after I kind of dropped out, is the word, college. I got accepted to music school.
Can we talk for a second about that moment? What were you in school studying, and what made you feel comfortable taking that risk?
I was transitioning from doing history in the north of Holland to... quitting and becoming or auditioning for this music school that had just opened up and, like, was kind of a launching platform for artists in the Netherlands, which I thought was dope. You know, they were actually, like, getting the festivals and doing dope stuff. And I thought, if I go to that school, I might, you know, do something useful with my life, you know?
Yeah. Dropping out of college is a really interesting subject for me. I dropped out of college as well. In retrospect, it was one of the most singular, impactful decisions that I've made that I think has led me to here. But I'm always unsure of how to frame that. I don't think that it's responsible for telling people, like, they're wrong for being in college or anything like that. But I think if you have a clear sense of what you want to do, I think that time is so important and so formative, especially for creative people, like your late teens, early 20s, that if that is truly your calling, and if you can have the courage to acknowledge and define that for yourself, then I think it's important to pursue it. And I can't speak for other people, but for me, when it started feeling like I was going through the motions at school but had these things that were actually really important to me, I think that was when it was obvious. And it was the first thing in my life that I actually went to my parents with a real sense of individuality, sense of self in. Mm-hmm. I didn't ask to do it when I did it. And I think that my whole life I had kind of been on autopilot looking for that thing, looking for that thing that was going to excite me, make me give a fuck about anything. I was just so high and so apathetic that when
I remember that feeling
writing
too.
Music was this way out.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I finally really serendipitously had that opportunity to make music my full-time thing, I went to my parents and said, this is a thing I'm doing. And I would really, I'd rather do it with your support, but it's a thing I'm doing. I'd rather have you with me for that journey. And I couldn't even like recognize the person that was saying that, like, and what was coming out of my fucking mouth.
Right.
But they respected that.
Yeah.
And they were like, all right, well, and I think that that's just a really important thing I wanted to touch on. So I want to fast forward a bit.
Sure.
And you start pursuing music, you find a band, you start getting some of the success, some of the recognition that I know that a lot of guitarists that I meet through music would be very happy with getting, very comfortable. You start touring a bit, you start touring more than a bit, it sounds like. And for me, this is about finding your why. And one of the really important things about that is that it's not this singular moment, that it keeps shifting. So you set out to accomplish something.
Yeah, yeah.
You end up part of a band. Maybe talk a little bit about the band. And what I'm more interested in is talk about when that band, when that why started changing for you.
Mm-hmm. And you mean I decided to quit that and do like pursue something else? Yeah. I guess I had a good setup, man. I went to that music school. I was first like I was accepted, but they had too many guitar players, so they kicked me out. And then I got a letter like, you're back in because somebody quit or, you know, didn't show up. So I was like, yeah, I'm accepted anyway. So I was super excited about going to that school. And then pretty much a year in, I met four dudes who weren't from the Netherlands but got accepted to the same school. And they auditioned for like the first round of Idols and got like a
Dutch Idol or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
What was it called? Do you remember?
Yeah, I just think it's called Idols.
Idol.
Yeah, or Idol. Yeah. And then
how'd that go for them?
He ended up with the last 10 contestants
because
he's a really gifted singer. And
these are guys you met at school.
That's cool. And then I, you know, like pretty much a year in, I was like, no, I'm dedicated. I want to do this right. But then I dropped out again because like my band was like, doing well, and we had written a bunch of songs together that got played on the radio. And I always felt it was kind of it wasn't like the alternative Bowie thing to do, to like go experience success on that level through Idols. So I felt a little snooty about it and a little snobby.
You're like, this shit's fucking whack and I'm not a pop star,
you know what I mean?
No offense,
but that's just that part, like at least for me, that phase of my life where I took myself very serious and I was very like convinced of like who were the right rock stars and who were the wrong ones. And I mean, that was fine in retrospect, but it got me. I was still open. I was excited about the opportunity, and I took it, you know? So I ran with it, and I knew, like, this isn't going to be forever, but I'm definitely going to, like, you know.
And you join a band with that guy.
Yeah, I joined a band. That was my first band, so I had to, like, learn playing standing up pretty quickly in front of, like, more and more people.
Were you ever practicing in front of a mirror?
Dude, I was. Like, as a kid with a tennis racket, yeah, yeah.
A tennis racket instead of a guitar? Were you, like, in your little tidy whities?
Oh, I was dressing up, like, MJ, like all that.
You were dressed up like MJ,
dude. Everything. So deep down, I must have
like Michael
some...
Jordan. Like, were you bald back then? Probably a different MJ.
Got
it.
Yeah, I was, but I guess some deep down there must have been the bug. But yeah, I got a break, man. With that band, I just got to experience like 150 shows a year, you know, three a week for like two, three years. And then I knew like from the beginning, like I'm not going to do this forever, but this is like dope and I'm going to run with it. But then I got like in the second or third year, I told him just kind of kindly, like, you guys should look for a replacement, and I'm still happy to help you guys out. But
what was that? Can you remember what that voice was that compelled you to leave this like stadium gig?
I know.
Like, what was it?
It was crazy because I was working in a CD store a month later, you know, like thinking like, was this really the right move? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And our apartment was like upstairs, and I would walk home from like my job, and I'd be like, "What the fuck did we do?" You know, because I just got together with my wife now, and so I was like 25 at the time, and I just quit. And she's like, "You should just start doing more sessions, like for, you know, as a guitar player for producers around." Because by then I was relocated to outside of Amsterdam a little bit. And like in Amsterdam, there are an incredible amount of talented people that are like doing bigger shit.
What would you say to guitarists or musicians or anybody who find themselves in something that's comfortable, that checks most of the boxes, but isn't quite the thing?
Yeah.
You know, like I think that decision, whether or not you made it deliberately or not, is a pretty fucking bold one, you know?
I guess.
And what would you say to CD store you? And then also, what would you say to those people that don't have the courage to make that jump?
If you just feel it in your balls that
or your lady balls.
Yeah, or your lady balls that you know, there's always like, I try to like do it this way I don't want to regret a decision. I want to regret decisions that I made, not that I didn't make, you know?
Run that shit back, Turbo. Bow, bow, bow. You want to regret decisions that you made and not decisions that you didn't make.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and I always felt like I just needed to progress from being who I was at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Damn, dude, that's fucking gnarly. And I'm really happy that you said that. That's what I was looking for.
Oh, I'm stoked.
That
man.
Is
a philosophy
that I agree with, but I'd never articulated like that.
Oh, shit. I would never have become like the guitar player or riff maker if I didn't become a session guitarist and like slowly but surely started getting like more and more of a community in Amsterdam of people that wanted me around them because I was adding to their records and stuff, you know?
We're going to hop off for a quick break and then we're going to talk about you and I meeting and making songs together. Let's do that shit. Okay, so we're back in this bitch. Boone, grandson. Every single grandson song goes through Boone. It's so gnarly to think about the fact that there was a time where I didn't know you and we weren't making music together.
I know.
So
if you hold our driver's
licenses. It's interesting because, well, one thing that's interesting about us is our age difference. Yeah. There's like 14 years in between us. I think a lot about how our lives would have changed if you and I were both coming up at the same time.
Yeah,
it probably would have gotten pretty dark. Probably would have gotten pretty turned up. So it's probably a good thing that the person that I was going on this journey with was so grand. We were having sessions. All of the songs that have been the most popular were in one of our like living room studios, essentially. I can recall the day that we cut Despicable, the day I came over and you had that guitar riff. It was a longer thing, but you had, it was like a longer loop, but you had accidentally like half baked, like looped the wrong part or something. And it was so cool.
Yeah. Right before you
all
came
of the hardest songs of ours. I remember your young son, Oliver, running through the room. I remember, your golden retriever, and that those memories are so important to me. They're so familiar. I don't even know what I want to talk about. You know, I guess we can talk about Blood Water as a song that's changed both of our lives, definitely mine. And that was, I think, a lot longer a process than people might really know, that we took multiple versions of that song, different riffs, different buildups, different choruses, different drops. I'm curious which song of ours you're the most proud of.
As I said earlier, so much I feel when you write your songs and your stories, I feel they like are intertwined with my life. So they're all, in a way, they some more than others. But it's like that is the like the energy that it comes out of. So like I respond to it and musically or energetically in that way, because it's like it hits me. But the ones that stand out in my heart are obviously Blood Water, but Best Friends.
Mm-hmm.
Stigmata.
Best Friends is one of the first songs we ever did together.
I know.
It was like the third or fourth song.
I know, and I love how...
It was just a fucking gnarly riff. And you wrote the riff independent. I think you wrote it around... I sent you a voice note with the lyrics and a melody that was kind of different. It was more like inspired by the 1975. I was listening to a lot of the 1975s.
Yeah.
It was a second album, I Love It When You're Asleep.
Mm.
I was listening to that album lot in 2016 when we started Grandson, and I was really inspired by Matt Healy's songwriting.
Mm.
And Best Friends was like this weird, kind of like upbeat, warm thing. And it would have been so fucking whack if we put it out like that. But then I sent it to Kev, and you just... You made the like you took it to this really dark place.
But that was also not to interrupt you. That was a moment where it was so dope to kind of witness something happening, which I wanted to touch upon real quick. Was when you would come into my studio, us like in the beginning, getting to know each other, working together. There were so many moments of like you doing something all of a sudden to like, which just like jolted us. And then Amit would be in the background.
Our manager,
who was very influential to us getting together in the first place. And he would like kind of give his...
He was always a really important barometer for us. Like if he didn't like a song, it's to this day.
Yeah.
If he doesn't like something, I don't know if it's any good. And if he does like something... Even if I don't like it, I think it's good.
Yeah.
And that's really, I think, a rare quality.
With Best Friends, the dope thing is, I remember the voice memo being more like, I never learned from my mistake.
Yeah.
Like, and then,
it was this like jazzy thing.
And then, but when you scream into the mic or like with the chain set up the way it is, and I immediately felt like White Stripes, like vibes.
Sick.
Because of that offbeat and because of like the drums we use.
The reality is I actually don't know very much White Stripes.
A lot of White Stripes.
I don't know much of anything. I definitely didn't back then. You know, so much of this, the sound that Grandson is, the entire, I look at it as this big Venn diagram. We're going to animate this part. Big Venn diagram, all right? You've got hip hop and all the different subgenres of hip hop. You've got breakbeat, Tribe Called Questy, hip hop, you've got trap, Double Time, Flows, UGK, Outkast, 3-6 Mafia. You've got all kinds of like, you've got the XXX Denzel Curry hard style shit. And then I was coming out of Montreal listening to a lot of electronic music. I was listening to a lot of Mad Decent, a lot of Diplo, a lot of Skrillex, a bunch of that kind of hard style. And dubstep and trap music, and then you really for me are that other side of it with blues rock. I think that I brought some of that. I think that that's why those early songs like Bills and Best Friends are much more bluesy, but then things took a really dark turn, and I don't know if that's was deliberate or not, but I think that it did coincide with Oliver's health declining. Things just all of a sudden carried more weight, more gravity.
It became very urgent.
Yeah, and that's something that is so important to our origin story. Your young son getting sick, and we can talk about that as much as you want, but and also reflecting on a healthcare system that was designed to like bankrupt and like destroy people for fault not of their own, for losing a genetic lottery or something like that so arbitrarily that we were watching that happen and really having no idea where this was going to go. I think that was a huge part of the anger politically that came through, and just the darkness in the rifts. I don't even really give a fuck if we're talking about the whole why thing that we were going to be talking about, but I want to take a little detour through that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that I'm curious, like, what pushed you to keep going through those times, and did those times shape your why today?
So just to provide some context, just when we had started getting together and
a couple months
and,
in.
Yeah, and getting some pretty stellar results, in my opinion, like finding like the joy in music, you know, like in a great way. Around the same time, my son at the time was 2, he was going on 3. He was diagnosed with a rare form of cancer. And he was hospitalized, and we stayed in the hospital for about four and a half, five months. I feel like you drive home, but like you're basically over there. And you know, to kind of briefly, that changes you to a large extent. I still like feel like I'm one of the lucky ones because I got to walk out of there with his health intact. But it was a very hard time in so many aspects, because it's you know, it's your worst nightmare as a parent. You want nothing more than to be in that bed, but you can't. And then there's the healthcare system that you're having to, you know, remain a savvy. You have to keep your savvy, rational mind going, because you're talking to these people that are trying to relocate you or like push you home, or you know, all those things. The real, like, there are, it's nuanced, because it's not just ugly. Like, there's good people working for those companies too, but I sure do have a shit list of like people that, you know, sent me emails around then that inspired me to like write angry riffs, you yeah. know. Yeah, sure. But it's like I said, it's nuanced, so it was really hard to put into words, but I do feel like more like like through it all, it's like you get to feel a certain way if you get to walk out, and I saw so many families in there that didn't get to experience 5 minutes or 5 months in the hospital, and your son going through what he went through, and that's my outlook on I hate having gone through that, and I, at the expense of my son, it's the worst thing you can imagine. But it, like, when you do get to walk out, you feel a certain, like, not just like responsibility, but kind of like power to see things in a different perspective after that, because, you know, like, my music heroes would be very intimidating before, and now my heroes are nurses or medical personnel that are like driving up to neighborhoods where they can get shot at, or, you know, and I still feel like music has brought me so much, but it put so many things in perspective after that I think I became better as a human, like, 'cause I had to deal with those things. There's nothing like necessity, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just had to deal with companies, insurance companies. I had to deal with my son's illness, but like I said, you know, we're still one of the lucky ones.
And that's such an important perspective to have. I think now's a good time to take our last break, and then
sure.
And then we're going to talk a little bit more. We're going to get some practical advice for other guitarists and musicians that might need to hear some. We're going to have a couple of grandkids ask some questions, and then we'll get you home.
Nice.
So real, man. Okay, so we're back. We're doing this thing. I have a couple more questions for you. I think that as we keep doing these, I'll get better at them, because I could literally do this all day. And if anyone's managed to make it this far, then thank you. thank you for this. And I hope that they let me keep doing it, because I'm having a lot of fun. So a couple things that I think are important to recap. Number one, that you didn't find guitar or start bands till your early 20s. You didn't meet me till you were 38.
Yeah.
30.
No, no, you're right. You're
somewhere
right.
around yeah, there, right? Right. I want to... No. Can you remember a particular moment that might have been... for people that want a career that looks like yours, having toured all over the world, having produced huge records across genres, for artists like myself, Rihanna, all kinds of like interesting people, what was one of the moments that people might have like where you were the closest to giving up on that process?
Which people caused me to almost give up on that?
Which people are just like, it, what moments were you just about to throw up your fucking hands? Because I think that there are a lot of people that they assume that there is this superhuman quality to the artists and producers that they look up to the most. And I want to kind of use this platform to shatter that and recognize, like when I was with Kay Flay, she was talking about getting dropped and how humbling that feeling was.
Yeah. I bet.
And I'm curious if you had any moments that... that can show other people that the only difference between you and them is that you hit that moment and didn't give up. Can you think of anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, just to also close that chapter in a nice way, but when I was like in the hospital with my kid, like I definitely thought of like, you reorganize the things that are important in your life, you know, and all the stuff I did before, save for our work, wasn't interesting anymore for me. So like that almost knocked me out. But the thought of that going felt very like you know, almost like a meant to be sort of thing, you know. But other situations and instances where I just almost decided, you know, not to do what I do or be who I am, I can't really say I've had those so much. Even though like. I've had discouraging moments and stuff, but I genuinely feel like it sounds a little maybe far fetched, but there's like a purpose to me loving things so much, and if I distance myself too far from the things that I really love and put energy into, then I always kind of find a way to get back to that, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to say it, but like I don't feel people can know people. There's no particular individual who can discourage me from loving music or my instrument so much, you know. So
I think that there are lots of people that relate to that, but that might not have the courage that you've shown. And I think that a couple people, you know, I sometimes wonder if you need loss and you need pain. To contextualize. Mm. I wonder if do you think that people have to go through the things you've gone through to learn the things that you've learned through those things?
Mm.
Or can they learn it from listening to like some podcast or something?
It's a little crazy to think about, but I in a very weird way, I do think we are self-fulfilling prophecies, all of us. So what we tell ourselves is like what actually happens to us in a way. And I'm not saying... our life experiences are all like, you know, because of what we said or other choices we make, some stuff just happens to us. But I genuinely feel that like you know, like there's a strength when you feel you're doing what you love to do and what you need to do is usually pretty close to that, you know. Mm.
One last thing that I'm curious about, and I don't know if we've ever really talked about it this bluntly, but I figured this is as good a place as any. Have there been really difficult moments where I put my foot down and said, I'm grandson, you know, those moments around?
If I had been in my 20s, like you said earlier in the discussion, we would have probably riffed over that shit. But I always from the get-go wanted... was so happy about your receptiveness to what I offered that I never felt, you know, like I want to stand in your shoes, or I was just so happy you ran with it, you know, like so that's there. Of course, there are hard moments when we create together because that's what happens, you know, like pieces of timber fly when you're building a house, you know, but it's genuinely like, you know, like you, for me, grants and to be such an important part of it is such a thing that I think of in terms of gratitude instead of like, no, that's like, that needs to be like known that, you know, or yeah. This or that.
That's fucking sick. I feel so lucky for that because I really don't know. I've always had this like real, I think similarly to what you said before about not wanting to regret the decisions you didn't make, but the decisions you did. I think that's part of what's propelled me since the beginnings of me making music to feel like I need to be a solo artist. And I know that I've had moments both with you creatively in making the music and then with Ramon, Renzo, and David in touring the music.
Mm-hmm.
Where that has come sometimes with a feeling of guilt. Sometimes that's like a burdensome feeling.
I bet. And sometimes but, you want to own it.
Yeah.
Know?
Sometimes I want to feel like this needs to be
my
vision.
You work hard for it. You know?
I've worked my ass off to put myself in the position to be the one calling certain shots. But at the same point, I wouldn't have gotten here without this community.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels good to know that that's like a thing that's okay between us. Because I haven't always known if that was something that
you know,
cool with.
Like, I think everything is so much cooler if you just like try to be the coolest version of yourself. And imagine a 40-year-old guy kind of wanting to be like, no, I'm like fucking half grandson and I want that to be known.
Some people spend their whole lives on this shit.
Like, I bet. But I would, there's so many more interesting things to do. Right, like if, for instance, like I just also want to mention that, like when I started working with you, you were being so open and receptive towards what I offered. Wasn't just that; it's also you turned me on to like stuff that made me pay attention more, and like stuff like, hey, you should check out Splice. Hey, you should like. Mm-hmm. Open this plugin, or you should like pitch this down. Or I had been producing for, or trying to be like a good producer for fucking since I quit my band, dude. So I remember jerking around on the old ass for like 9 years or something. But in the time that I worked with you, like me being so happy about you loving the shit has made me like so much better and has catapulted my skills, you know?
Well, consistently the songwriters, the artists, the producers that I work with that are, in my opinion, the best in a subjective way and then objectively have become the most successful, be that financially or in however you quantify it, those people are often the most humble, the most hardworking, and the most willing to learn. That curiosity, I think, in wanting to get better, because if you think you know everything, me as a songwriter or as a producer or whatever, then you're only going to get as far as you get.
It's just so whack when you're talking about yourself, how you did something dope, and then somebody else is like, you know, doing something way doper in the background.
Yeah. So, okay, fuck all this shit. I'm going to ask you one or two questions from the grandkids. Let me flip this piece of paper over. And you can chime in by asking questions with the hashtag XXY. So, okay. At Black Snow Queen asked, what motivates you to make music?
Everything.
What a fucking terrible answer.
I know. I've been trying to make music, I think, ever since I remember just as a kid, just trying to like make music just with my teeth, like by like clacking my teeth together. I remember those were the first little things. And same with guitar. Like I thought the guitar was way too hard. So I put just one string at a time, then two, then three. That's my approach to like
music. That's cool.
I think that would be a good way for like a lot of people would be fine starting with two, but it's so much less menacing, you know, and my just curiosity for that shit. But I don't know, I can't explain why I'm so curious, that, you know, but I love finding out how to learn more about music. So I don't know if that answers the question. Probably not.
I think it does. I think that one of my first memories, I was into cross country running when I was in like grade 3, and I would catch like this rhythm my breathing.
Step, a train.
Breathe, out, in,
totally, right?
And I would find this little pocket.
Yeah.
Come on, no. In, out. I was doing my like little Migos, fucking Jewish, like little kid with my little fro. But yeah, I think that some people is just within them. And then I'm curious, do you have any advice for guitarists out there of any age that's just that want a kind of career that looks like yours?
Oh,
assuming that they're going to work hard, assuming that they're actually not that bad.
I mean, it helps to have like people you really look up to and just study the shit out of them, you know? Like I keep looking online and everywhere for like music that inspires me, and I've always been like passionate about guitar and stuff, but right now dudes from Polyphia and Tosin Abasi, they're taking guitar in a way that you can just see the evolution of like guitarists happening and stuff. So
it's about just staying curious.
Yeah, again, I keep getting back to that.
Is it time to wrap up?
Yeah.
Just focus. Speak into the mic. Oh, I get
right
it
on.
Now. Sorry, dude. Fuck.
Sorry, it's repeat the question one more time.
Eh, fuck it.
Okay.
I'm off it.
Next one.
I guess I have another question for people that might be going through something similar to what you went through with Oliver. Do you have anything that you learned along the way that you could impart on people that are going through the hardest thing that they've ever gone through?
Oh man, every situation is different. If I could share anything of worth, I would say become aware of your ability, the things you can control. Become very aware of where you can, you know, like parents will already do this probably, but where you can like make your child's treatment a little lighter or a little easier, and know what he or she loves by you know, like becoming aware of dosage, even like becoming aware of therapies, medications, read up and make sure you know as much as like the people over there, because hospitals are great, but they can only do as much, and you're like the only, and there's nobody like the parent, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So those like the, and my wife was really inspirational in that time, because she really like, instead of react emotionally towards things, she would like become super good at managing what Oliver needed and who to talk to and who not to spend time talking to, and to how to conserve your energy like that. Those are, I guess, the best things I could impart.
Yeah, I remember, and that's fucking really helpful, and that's beautiful.
I hope so, man.
I remember coming through to the hospital, and it was like, you know, she was literally like Wonder Woman. Like she was in bed with him.
Insane.
And her mind was just moving so fast at all times. And it was really inspiring to watch. I want to leave, like we're going to leave every episode. It's 2020. It's a huge year politically, all across the world and here in America in particular. I don't want to get you in trouble or anything, because we're trying to get my boy a green card. If you're watching this, get this motherfucker a green card. I need him in here. We need those riffs here in America, legally.
I needed him, okay?
Fuck the 01. It's a fucking sham. He's wasting all his fucking money. Anyways, I'm curious, what's one issue that you're really passionate about and you think people should be signing up to vote about this year? Sponsored by Headcount.
I would love to see less money distributed towards defense, quote unquote, and towards like educational purposes in America. I think teachers, and they work their asses off, and I would love to see some awareness and more reallocation of energies towards that end.
Yeah, we spend over $1 trillion a year on war,
yeah,
in America.
Yeah,
really interesting.
Yeah.
If you aren't already registered to vote, we need you to text VOTERXX to 40649 to sign up for Headcount's election alerts. And I don't know when this is going to air. There should be some sort of prize that you can win for doing so. The prize that you should be winning is the right to have your voice heard in this conversation, because if you're not registered to vote in this very important year and you are able to do so, you should go fuck off and stop having opinions on Twitter. I think that's about it. Shouts out, headcount. There's a million things we could talk about. I feel like kind of rambly. I don't really know. Kind of over-caffeinated. I hope that through doing a bunch of these, I'll get better at them, and then we'll have you back on here, and we'll be able to have a more concise conversation. But there's just so much to talk about, and there's so much music left to make. I really feel like I feel like the best music is in front of us and not behind us. I feel like the new shit that we're making is really exciting for me. Dude. And I really hope that we're able to keep having the kind of unbelievable time that we've had together. I know that we will. And you are somebody that I will consider a brother for my whole life. And I just think it's really important that anybody that fucks with what I do understands that that means they fuck with what he does. You should follow him at I Am Boone on Instagram. And watch out for some of his solo music that I might have dropped a hot 16 on once upon a time. And thank you so much for being here, dude. Let's get back to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. Yeah, I love you, dog. Yay. Cool, man. So cool.
That was fire.
That was fire, right? It was a little like... I.